They have a college and career class started over in the house, if you want to go over to that, if you're a college career age. If you want to go over to the house, that's fine. Huh? Yeah, career. All right. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read this chapter, and then we're going to get in some, a little bit about doctrine. That's what we've been going through, about what we believe. And there's a lot of crazy beliefs out there. We've gone through some of that stuff, and there's a lot of crazy beliefs. People, you just grab a hold of anything, and they take it and believe it. I told you, there's a religion up in Canada called the Raelians. They're looking for people from outer space to come and have a relationship with them. And really, they support it. They support it. They tithe to it. They tithe, I think, 15 to 20% of their income. And then they, on certain days, they go out and lay on the side of a mountain naked waiting for these aliens to come have a relationship with them. Isn't that crazy? Waiting for aliens. And then you got different religions that teaches different crazy things. You got people that in Satan worship, and they think the devil's going to be the ruler of the world. And so the Bible kind of clears up a lot of things. I mean, I know this book is, folks, if I didn't believe this Bible was the truth, I wouldn't be standing here today. I know it's the truth. I know it changes lives. I know what we believe is, if there's something that, I saw a picture of a guy sitting in his chair somewhere up in New York, I guess, and he had a sign that says, the Roman Catholic Church is the whore of Revelation 17 and 18, and this is what I believe. And then it had at the bottom, it says, big letters, change my mind. And he sat there waiting for somebody to come up and say, let me show you why it ain't. Nobody around. And so he's sitting out there. He said, that's pretty extreme. Yeah, that's pretty extreme. But he just put out, he was probably Roman Catholic, got saved. And he said, when he got saved, he sat out there and he's waiting for people to come up. He has the Bible sitting there. He has tracts. And he's waiting for somebody to say, come up and challenge him. Say, no, it's not. It's not the whore of Revelation. So, but nobody, as far as I could see, nobody challenged him. And the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. What we're doing is study the Word of God. You iron sharpeneth iron. You're learning the Word of God. And it's not brainwashed. Jehovah's Witnesses, they teach a bunch of lies. And they teach a bunch of things about Jesus Christ. They don't believe Jesus Christ is God. They teach that, soul sleep. They believe that once you're dead, your body's going to be in the ground till the resurrection of where the Jehovah's Witnesses get to rule and reign. And it's just crazy stuff, man, that people believe. And when you read the Bible, the Bible clears up things. And, you can believe God. You can believe what he says. Now, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And boy, we've seen that, man. Giving heed to seducing spirits. And doctrines of devils. Notice doctrine. Doctrines of devils. Charles Manson, made that 666 thing famous. I think, did he have it on his forehead or did he have it on his arm? Yeah. He had a swastika up on top. And Charles Manson made it, big thing. And a lot of people walk around, got 666 on them and all that. They don't really know what they're doing. They really don't know what that means, I don't think. And it says, some shall depart from the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits. And a seducing spirit is what comes and messes with you when you're, when you're by yourself and you're feeling lonely, down, nobody cares, that kind of thing. This seducing spirits come up to you and start messing with you. And they'll start whispering in your ear, telling you all kinds of crazy stuff. And they're constantly, the spirits, you've seen the old cartoons of Tom and Jerry where they've got an angel on one side and the devil on the other side, and it's always whispering in your ear. And it depends on who, Doc used to say there was old dog, white dog, black dog, depends on which one you feed is going to be the strongest. If you feed the Word of God, from the Word of God, you'll get stronger. It says, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So then you got to stay in age. You say, what do you mean being a conscience seared with a hot iron? You go to Romans chapter 1. Go over to Romans chapter 1. And you see how people's conscience gets seared. And Romans chapter 1, homosexuals and lesbians and all that stuff saying, oh, we're born this way. Nobody was born that way. Amen. Somebody has to mess with somebody to convert them. That's why the homosexuals are lesbians. And they got all these movies on TV now. You got all these shows with lesbians like Ellen DeGeneres, and she's giving things away to people. Oh, I just love Ellen. Everybody says, I just love Ellen because she gives everything away. And they put their money and their money out, and they're rich. A lot of homosexuals are rich. And they'll put their money out. They got a man-boy love association in Washington, D.C., and they say sex after age is too late. They're trying to mess with kids at 8 years old. But actually, they want to go even younger. And so when you talk about doctrines of devils and unclean spirits, seducing spirits, and little children suffer for it. Little children get, duped into it. And that's why you say, why did we go after kids, we try to give them some kind of hope, man. Try to give them some Bible, try to give them some care, try to show them that somebody really does love them and care about them. And the devil's constantly trying to ruin the children, trying to ruin their minds. And you got the internet, they call it the World Wide Web, and these kids are getting more and more involved in the World Wide Web, and they're looking at all this stuff, and the devil's just constantly messing with them. And they're constantly feeding on it. And it's just, what I can see when the Antichrist comes, he'll probably use a cell phone to give everybody the mark of the beast. Everybody get that through, or a chip. Go to the doctors, get a chip. But we're getting more and more now. But in Romans chapter 1, look at this. Talking about seducing spirits. He says, in 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, the person that knows the truth and doesn't hold on to it and just kind of flips it off, it's going to be harder on them than it would be on somebody that didn't know the truth. When you have the truth, and the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. When you have the truth and you just kind of flippantly let it go, and then you go on, it gets harder on that person, especially knowing what's right. And it says, for 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No excuse. You have people that... that's heard the truth, know the truth, and flippantly take the truth and say, I don't believe all that stuff. And they go their own way, and then they make excuses why somebody did this or somebody said that in church or what have you. But you can't find fault with the Lord. You can't find fault with God at all, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And God puts it inside every man a little light. Everybody has a little light in them. And he put a little light in there, and that light will grow the more the Word of God gets in you. The Bible says he gives every man a measure of faith. He gives every man a measure. It depends on where you put your faith in and what you put your faith in and trust. Because, look at verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So people always say, well, what about the heathen that never heard? What about these people that never had a chance? Somebody dropped the ball. You think about when Noah got off the ark, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and three daughter-in-laws, and his wife. And when they got off the ark, that's where all mankind came from those people. And when Noah got off the ark, they all knew who God was. They all seen God's wrath. They all seen all the things that happened. They seen it. So somebody dropped the ball. And what's happened is, in this day and age, we got families dropping the ball between one generation to the other. They're not living the kind of life in front of, their children. And so the children says, this ain't real. It ain't real what they got, and they're hypocrites, and they don't follow what they were taught, you know, or what supposedly they were taught. So you got this disconnect between one generation to another. So we're living in a generation now where, you know, we got this disconnect. And kids think it's cool to serve Satan, serve themselves, you know, just it's a sexual revolution, that kind of thing. And it's a disconnect. And you gotta, and then the next generation after that is gonna be even worse. My generation was bad. I'm talking about the 70s, 60s, 70s. My generation was bad. And it got, and my generation became the hippie generation and then the drug culture and all that stuff. And then they said, well, I don't want my kids to grow up like I did and, you know, made to go to church, made to do this, made to do that. So then they say, well, I'm just going to do it. And they grew their hair long and smoked dope and everybody, you know, free love and all that stuff. Communes. You said that there was communes when I was growing up. Communes, college around the colleges. Everybody lived in the commune, you know, and it was this free sex, free this, free that. And then you had to, you know, all the diseases coming in. So you got all that stuff going on. God, they said when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And they said, we would want to have a free spirit, a free thinking spirit. And I could tell you some stuff that I've seen. My Lord, it's terrible. I got a brother, half brother right now, sitting in the hospice care. His name is, we called him Junior. And Junior, he was a womanizer and everything else. He's my older half brother. I'm going to go see him this week. He's dying. He's 75 years old. And I talked to his daughter last night. She's 54. And she got saved. She said, Uncle Alan, I remember when you came back. Whew. When you got saved, everybody said you were crazy. And she said, and nobody wanted to hear what you had to say. But she said, I'm saved, Uncle Alan. I go to a Baptist church over in Hyattsville, Maryland. She said, I go to a church there. She said, thank God you stood. Thank God. I witnessed to my half-brother. He didn't want to hear it. She says he's saved now, but I'm going to go see and make sure. Because she said, I want to make sure my daddy's saved. She said, the other day, she said, I had to say to myself, because her daddy didn't treat her right. And she said, I had to say to myself, why am I doing this for my dad? It's because I love him, right? Mm. His name was Junior. His my mom's first marriage. She had three children, and two girls and one boy. And they all lived with us. And then and when my mother married my dad, they all moved out. They didn't want no part of him. And he was a mess. And she was telling me. She said she read kind of the life story. She said it made me feel sorry for y'all. I said, yeah, but I got saved. God changed my life. If a man or woman wants to change their life, God can change their life. God will give them the help that they need to change. And you just got to make up your mind. Yep. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There's not going to be no excuse. None. Because that which when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And I believe this. I think the biggest thing in a Christian's life that's going to hinder them, that's going to stop them, is going to be unthankfulness. And what would we have a generation of kids that's unthankful? They're unthankful for what God's done for them, where they are, and how they are in America and the food and all that stuff. They're unthankful. They throw fits and go crazy if they don't get their cell phone. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God onto image made like a corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a what? Lie. So what America is doing, they're trying to change history. They're trying to change the whole course of history, trying to say America was never a Christian nation. America never did have God as their God, you know. America is the only nation that ever chose Jesus Christ as their God. You say, what about Israel? Israel, God chose them. America is the only country that chose Jesus Christ. So the devil would go after this country to destroy this country and destroy what we believe and what we stood for. And that the first thing he did, he got prayer out of school, got Bible out of school, or just he can't really get the Bible out, but it got prayer out of our government, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in the lust one towards another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly. So what is that? That's homosexuality. That's lesbianism. And there, what you got pushing today? You got that thing, and it's crazy that today to run to be president or any kind of Congress or Senate, you've got to be for the LGBT, you've got to be for the homosexuals, the lesbians, you got to be for all that stuff because they got more power, they got money. They got money. So it says, for this cause, God gave them up. So what does that put America in? The state of America. The state of America is in bad shape. Really, you think about it. I remember a preacher, old preacher said this one time. He said, look out when America gets below the percentage of Sodom and Gomorrah, look out. So Abraham negotiated with God for 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. So where are we heading? We're heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where we're heading. And doctrines of devils. We're talking about doctrine. And doctrines of devils. We're heading right down the same road that Sodom and Gomorrah went. And everybody thinks it's all right. And what's sad is Christians, you know, as Christians got, they're starting to think it's all right. It's fine. And we got families that's, every family is affected by somebody that has somebody that's perverted in their family. My half-brother, like I said, he was a womanizer and everything else. I hated when he even hugged my mother. I didn't even like him hugging my mother because I knew him. I knew what he was. And it was hard. It's hard for me to go talk to him because it's just the way he was. And I mean, I was hard on him when I told his daughter last night. I said, you know, when I first got saved and everything, I come back, I was hard on him. I mean, I was hard. I mean, I wanted to see him get saved. I do. I love him to the point I want to see him get saved, but I just didn't have any respect for him, had no, I didn't like him, put it that way. Didn't like him. So I told her I'd go see him this week. So pray for me. Pray that he gets saved if he's not saved. Amen. His name is Junior. His last name is Rutherford. That was my mom's maiden name, Rutherford. Not maiden name, but her maiden name was Hardy, but she married Rutherford. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, or even their women did change the natural use in that which is against nature. You know, isn't it something that we all got skeletons in our closets? So everybody's got somebody in the family, and I was just as wicked too. I mean, got saved, but I was just as wicked in my mind and heart. Likewise, also men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning the lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. For even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. There's something in there. Without understanding. They don't want to understand. Without understanding. They don't want to know God. They don't want nothing to do with God. And you know what? You say, is there no hope? Oh, man, there's always hope. There's always somebody out there saying, God, are you real? Are you there? God, do you care? There's always somebody. And around this time of the year, we got Halloween coming up. It's always, people go crazy over Halloween. They go nuts. Their kids dressing up as goblins. And down there, you go in Lowe's, you've got witches. And you go into Walmart, they got witches and everything. You got to realize what's going on in this world. The world's pushing that stuff. But what we can do is counter it. We counter. It's a, you being attacked, you counterattack. And that's what you got to do. You got to counterattack. Even in your own life, when you're being attacked, you counterattack. And you, when the flesh and the world and the devil comes at you, you just counterattack. Say, I'm going to get you some tracks, go out and start witnessing people, start talking about singing praises to God. And when you start doing that, I'm telling you what, man, it's a counterattack. And how many of y'all feel like you've been attacked for the past few weeks? You've been attacked. Yeah. Yeah, what you do is counterattack now. You go back and you start praising God in the midst of the storm. That's what Paul and Silas did when they was in jail in Acts chapter 4 and 5 or 6. They were in, maybe even later. They were in there. They were in prison. They were put in prison. They were beat. And they started, what they just started doing, start singing. At midnight, they started singing. And man, God shook the place. And God used that man greatly, greatly. Without understanding, covenant breakers. You know, we make a covenant. We come down, a lot of times we come down to the altar, we make a covenant with God, and then we break it. And then we go back and make another covenant, and then we break it. We say, God, I promise I won't do that no more, and then we break it. And we're constantly breaking. You say, well, does God, you know, to think about it, if God said no more, no more, ain't happening no more. What if he did that? What if God said, you prayed that 1,500 times. I'm tired of hearing it. But you know, he knows we're flesh. He knows we're weak. He has mercy on us. Without understanding, covenant breakers. And nobody in here is exempt. Nobody's better than nobody else. Nobody's, you know, some folks might be a little more spiritual than others, but we're all in the same boat. And we're all supposed to say, God, I want you in my life. I want you to, I want to seek you, Lord. I want to help. I want your help. And intend to do it and try and strive to do it. Strive to get to know him. It says, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They like to watch other people doing it. All right, go back to 1 Corinthians, or 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Doctrines of devils. Man. Yesterday or Friday, yesterday. Guy goes into a synagogue in Pittsburgh and just says, you know, Jews are devils, and started killing. He said, man, what in the world? And then people just killing each other, killing people and killing and shooting up job sites and shooting up schools and killing children. Yeah, there's a devil, man. There's a seducing spirit out there. And people are following it. And the devil's right there to mess with your mind to try to tell you that God's not real, doesn't love you. If there's a devil, there's a God. And there's a God, there's a devil. All right, back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh, especially that in the latter times some should depart from the faith. You know what, you ought to stop right there and look at that and say, Lord, don't let it be me. Don't let it be me. Help my faith to grow. Help my faith to continue. Help me, God, get stronger, that might be able to rescue some of the weaker brethren, weaker sisters. Be able to giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies, hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, and forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Now, you all know who that is, the Catholic Church, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. And it says forbidding to marry. That's the priest and, you know, and commanding to abstain from meats. Now, it comes out about all these priests molesting little kids. They said over 300 priests in Philadelphia, probably more than that, molested over 1,000 people. 1,000. My Lord. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And I tell you, before you eat, if you don't bow your head and thank God and teach your children and grandchildren how to thank God for their food, shame on you. Shame on you. I want to be a good granddad. I want to teach my grandchildren how to pray, how to seek God, And they're always asking questions. They're always. They're always, man, they're questioning me all the time. Pop-up, what is this? Pop-up, what's that? And they always ask questions. That's good. I'm glad. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in words of faith and of a good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Right there it says, put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. I want to be a good minister. I want to be, it says, putting my brethren in remembrance of these things. And that's what you, in church before, that's where you fellowship with each other. You're trying to put each other in remembrance of how God is good and what God's done for our lives. I was telling the boys yesterday how John Garner's daddy helped me and how he took care of things. He worked for NSA and he paid all my fines and he went down to the motor vehicles with me and he was an NSA agent and went in there with me and helped me get my license back, and it was a miracle what happened there. And but his dad was instrumental in my life to help me to get my life straightened out, because he watched me to see if I was real, wanted to see if I was going to go on and serve God. And it says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, talking about prayer, talking about the last days, doctrines of devils, hypocrisy, certain religions that abstain from meats and Good Friday, you have to eat fish and all that stuff. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And it says, for bodily exercise profit little. It does profit a little bit. You should exercise. Amen. Try to stay in shape. I want to stay in shape until the Lord comes back. Amen. Man, I'm already getting aches and pains. How many of y'all got aches and pains? I'm getting aches and pains. I thought, man, where did that come from? And my son-in-law, Mike, he just turned 48. I called him up. I said, happy 50th, you know. And he said, I'm not 50, I'm 48. I said, do you have any aches and pains? He said, no, I'm 20 years old. I said, oh, yeah. You're a liar. It says, for bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable in all things. So godliness is profitable in every aspect of your life. Having the promises of the light of life, of the life that having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach, command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in the word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's right there. That'll keep you busy. Those things right there, those five things will keep you busy. You won't have to worry about nobody else. You'll be trying to take care of this. Be in word, or actually six things. In word, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Read your Bible. Nobody should have to tell you to read your Bible. Nobody has to tell me I need to read my Bible. My wife or Becky, the other day, we was having a hard time trying to move this trailer and everything. And Becky says, wait a minute, Dad, stop. And she's out there working with me, trying to help me get this stuff done. And she says, stop. I said, what? She said, did we pray? I said, that's a good thing, honey. We better pray. Wow. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou example in all in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to what? Doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. There you go. You got a gift. You say, what is my gift? Well, God knows and you should know. Your gift, you should have a gift. I think everybody has a gift. I think God gives everybody a gift. You ought to have a gift of exhortation. You ought to have a gift of, some people's got more outgoing than others. Some people can, there's some people that are soul winners, man. They can win souls like that. They just got that gift. Some guys got a gift to preach. Some people got a gift of exhortation. Some people got a gift of just making people just feel welcome It's just a gift, man, God gives. He gives people, and you could have a couple gifts. You could, but see what the charismatics do, they want to walk around going, I got the gift. It's all about them. It's not about trying to help somebody else. The gift that they talk about, it ain't helping nobody. It's just helping themselves, or they think it's helping them. It's not. Some people think, I got a gift. I mean, there's some people got a gift to make money. Really, some people do. So they have a gift to make money. And what they do with that money is up to them. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, which the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. God wants people to see what he's done in your life. So that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate upon these things. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both what? Save thyself. Not talking about going to heaven. Save yourself a lot of trouble. Yep. Save you a lot of heartache. Then he says, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And you could apply this to a preacher. I asked my niece, I said, your preacher believe the Bible? She said, well, he preaches it. But the church she told me that she is going to, and I was getting ready to say something about it because I went there years ago. I went there just checking out this church, and the guy didn't preach the Bible. He didn't preach anything, man. And it just bothered me. I went out of there, and I was handing out tracts outside in the foyer to people. And I didn't think they preached salvation. But she said, we got a new pastor there. She got saved 8 years ago. She said, my brother Timmy just got saved about 3 years ago. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've been praying. I'm praying for my relatives. Y'all praying for your relatives? Amen. Praying for your family? Do you get down at night and pray for them? Amen. You ought to. You ought to be praying. You ought to be praying and try to exhort people to come to. He said, I called her just to see how her daddy was doing. And wanted to hear and how she was doing. She said, Uncle Alan, I'm so excited you called me. I'm so excited. So I want to encourage them to go for God. Amen. All right, we're going to stop right there. I'll get in some doctrine, but it's talking about doctrine.